It's the most important day of the year on the WCHL broadcast calendar. The 2013 Chapel Hill Carborough Orange County Forum on 97.9 FM WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live on chapelborough.com. 10 hours live from the WCHL studios with more than 60 people from our community here to discuss and debate local issues. WCHL's forum is presented by the Happy Tooth, the UPS stores, Fordham Boulevard and Metamont, AutoLogic, Carolina Inn, Harrington Bank, Durham Tech, University Mall, and Molly Maid. Now it's Forum Hour number 5. The topic, economic development. And your moderator is Aaron Keck.
Welcome to Hour 5 of the 2013 WCHL Community Forum. 10 topics in 10 hours all day long with commentary and discussion among town and university officials and other representatives from our community, all focused on the important issues affecting our county. In this hour, following up on our discussion of growth from earlier in the day, we'll discuss economic development, and we've got a lot of great guests to do it with. On this panel, joining us this hour, five very distinguished guests from a variety of different areas in the community, beginning with Orange County Economic Development Director Steve Brantley. Good to have you with us. Annette Stone, Economic Development Director for the Town of Carborough.
Hello.
From the Chapel Hill Town Council, Mr. Jim Ward. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
Entrepreneur Jim Kitchen of jimkitchen.org. Good to have you with us.
Great to be here.
And finally, last but not least, of the Chapel Hill Planning Board, Amy Ryan. Good
Hi,
to have you with
thanks
us.
For having me.
So I want to begin with going counterclockwise around the circle on your, or clockwise around the circle on your radio dial, I guess I should say, beginning with Steve Brantley and ending with Amy Ryan. Just to throw open the most generic question to get our conversation going, because there's a lot to talk about with economic development, a lot of major projects, not as major but still significant projects in the works being discussed, different aspects of all of it, and there's a lot to talk about this hour. So I want to begin by asking the most generic question at all, and I'll throw it open first to you, Steve. What is exciting right now about economic development in Orange County?
I was impressed to hear Commission Chair Barry Jacobs describe what we're doing, and I agree with him. He said that the county is simultaneously working from the top down and from the bottom up with the goal of meeting in the middle as a strategy for our economic development efforts. And what he means by that, I believe, is that from the top down, it's preparing our economic development districts, as the commissioners have been committed to doing over the past number of years in terms of the utilities, the zoning, making them ready to attract larger commercial, retail, and light industrial business. And then what he means from the bottom up is some of our efforts, such as Jim Kitchen is involved with, our Launch Innovation Center to promote entrepreneurial growth, the agricultural economic development to create the farm-to-fork culture and to add that to our value in the county, and even our small business loan program to fund small companies here in Orange County, and with the goal for them to grow. And I found that description not only accurate, but I think it summarizes all the things we're doing.
Sort of following up on that, and then we'll move around the rest of the table, but following up on that with you, Steve, there's this long-standing stereotype or reputation that Orange County has for not being very concerned with promoting economic development. But from that, it sounds like everyone is not only on board with economic development, but working together in pursuit of that same goal.
We're working together in terms of relationships with mm-hmm. our economic development partners, such as Annette Stone here with the town of Carborough, Dwight Bassett, the economic developer for Chapel Hill, Meg McGurk, Downtown Partnership. We're working in terms of product, the infrastructure that we need to pull together, websites, the social media aspect of it. And it was the crashing local economy that had a lot to do with making people realize what do we need to do to diversify our tax base, particularly in non-residential ways, but also to add more and better jobs that pay mm-hmm. Benefits, retirement, and so forth. And so perhaps the economy had a lot to do with pulling people together, but since then we have a lot going on collaboratively that is proving to be signs of this success.
You mentioned Annette Stone, conveniently located right next to you. So Annette, I'll turn to you next. There's a lot of big projects in the works or literally about ready to open in Carrboro. Most notably, I think 300 East Main Street, but Shelton Station just got approved. And there's a lot of other projects in the works. What excites you about economic development right now?
I think the thing that's most exciting is what's happening with our economy and how it's shifting the emphasis that we're putting on various new sectors, where traditionally it's been the university and the hospital here, but the creative economy is really making a surgence up. The arts and entertainment, the food industry, the food economy that's happening here, and also the entrepreneurship and the innovation that's happening here. It's sort of a hidden economy that we have of people embedded who are entrepreneurs and innovators that are, you know, right here in our community, and the opportunity to help them grow and become, you know, the jobs and that we want for the community and the well-being of the community. That's what's exciting to me.
And I wanted to go clockwise around, and that would mean Jim Ward next, but you mentioned innovative entrepreneurs, so I'll skip over you, Jim, for 1 second and move over to this side of the table where we've got one of those innovative entrepreneurs here right now, Jim Kitchen. What's exciting for you about Orange County? Obviously, launch has got to be thing number one.
Yeah, it certainly is. As you know, as part of economic development, there's a whole lot of excitement about the entrepreneurial ecosystem in Chapel Hill. And it's just it's been a fantastic collaboration between the university, the county, the town of Chapel Hill, and the downtown partnership. We're going to have our grand opening soon for the launch facility on Rosemary Street, and we're also looking at a second location right now on Franklin Street. So this entire ecosystem, entrepreneurial ecosystem in Chapel Hill, is really burgeoning. Been contacted by folks in Hillsboro and also in Carrboro about doing similar things. So and from other parts of the state, for that matter. So we're really excited about what's going on in downtown Chapel Hill. I think we're going to be retaining a lot of those entrepreneurs that have, you know, previously left the city and moved elsewhere. And it's very, very, very exciting what's going on.
For people who don't know what Launch is, can you describe it a little bit?
Sure. Launch Chapel Hill is really the first accelerator of its kind in Chapel Hill. It's designed to help high potential founders and businesses really get to the next level. And so we try to provide them with the essential things to be successful. We've got a physical space. First space is on Rosemary Street, as I mentioned. It's 3,500 square feet. We have some traditional office, you know, offices. We have desk space. So there's physical spaces. We also have what's a rarity in Chapel Hill is we have parking. And then we have some programming events, and, you know, so we're creating a culture for our entrepreneurs where they can be successful. And the key piece is developing a mentoring network where there are relevant mentors and coaches that can really help these entrepreneurs, whether they be young entrepreneurs just coming out of UNC or current students. Or you know, folks from Chapel Hill, and those three components together are really helping these ventures.
We've got research, we've got innovation, we've got commercial development, big projects, small projects, and Launch in downtown Chapel Hill, one of many big projects, significant ones happening in downtown Chapel Hill and around town right now. So Jim Ward, I'll turn to you to try to summarize it all without necessarily picking too much of a bone about the parking with Jim Kitchen.
Well, parking is something that we continue to deal with. Vision too many of us have that there's not enough down there. We've added parking over the last number of years. Mm-hmm. We've increased the signage so people can actually find it, who are those folks who are new to our community. But let me just back up a little bit and say that I think the economic crisis of the last several years has really precipitated our and galvanized our effort to work at finding solutions to the financial sustainability of our community. It's forced us to be partners maybe where we wouldn't have naturally encouraged that partnership. And another piece of that is Chapel Hill 2020. I think that the timing of our community master plan, update of that, has helped us identify for the greater community those are our priorities, and one of those is economic development. We've gone, I think, beyond the sensibility that you're either a tree hugger or you're for economic development. In fact, those as well as social equity, we need to embrace all those in all that we do, so that without that, bringing all those, improving all those together, we're going to fail in some way over the long term. But as you mentioned, downtown Chapel Hill, there's 140 West Franklin Street has the opening, I think, on Saturday. Mm-hmm. We've approved 123 West Franklin, which is the university's redevelopment of University Square. We have done a lot of work over at Ephesus and Fordham Boulevard, the small area plan associated with that really problematic intersection, and have turned this process into a way of fixing not only the way traffic flows around there, but affordable housing and office and retail. So I think we're hitting a lot of things at the same time. We've got the Edge development up on Eubanks Road, which is a work in progress. So I think Chapel Hill 2020 has helped us identify economic development as an important need that we need to spend more time in. We need to get our whole community engaged and on the same page. And we've a part of that is identifying parts of our community where it makes sense and parts of our community where it doesn't make sense.
We'll get back to Chapel Hill 2020 later on in the hour. I'll turn to Amy Ryan now to ask the same question. What excites you about economic development in Orange County and in Chapel Hill in particular? But also to ask you the question that we talked about before this panel even began, which is sort of an underlying question, and Annette's already mentioned new sectors, the creative economy in particular. Steve already made a reference to light industrial and other sort of sources of economic development beyond just commercial retail development, which gets talked about, I think, the most. So one of the things that I want to talk about over the course of the hour as well, and this will get back to Chapel Hill 2022, is not just economic development in the abstract, but particular types of economic development and commercial development versus others. So I was I wanted to ask you, first of all, what excites you about economic development, but also to ask you to begin the conversation about which particular types of economic development we should be promoting in Orange County, both now and in the near and distant future.
Well, I have to get back to what Jim said. I think 2020 was a really big, important event in Chapel Hill. And coming at the time that it did, I think it really got people talking about this new conversation and recognized the importance of our fiscal sustainability and trying to make that work with what's really a very powerful brand that we have here in Chapel Hill and Orange County. I mean, we routinely win Best Places awards. Mm-hmm. So our challenge is to try to figure out
Money Magazine, I think, just now we heard.
It's amazing. I mean, we're really a very, very special place. So the challenge for us is to try to figure out how to bring this fiscal sustainability in a way that protects that brand and extends that brand. Mm-hmm. So Jim had mentioned 2020, and I was the planning board, the Sustainability Commission got together during that process, and we pulled out from all the community input a bunch of big ideas. And one of those was to use Rosemary Street as an incubator and really build on that kind of development in town. Mm-hmm. It's perfect for a university town. It really will set us apart in the area as kind of a new place with our own unique identity. So I think that that kind of economic development is a very interesting avenue for us to be pursuing. You know, instead of building more stores, which is another kind of development that can occur, but.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to Jim Ward, Chapel Hill 2020, obviously everyone very excited about it when it came down. It was such a significant moment in the town's development, everyone coming together to do something that had really never been done before, certainly not on such a grand scale in our community. There were a couple of discussions, I remember, involving developers and the development process shortly after 2020, where some people, I think Roger Perry was one, if I remember correctly, I could be wrong, saying something to the effect of Chapel 2020 gave us good broad brushstrokes for what we want, but in terms of the nitty-gritty details of what in a specific development should the town be promoting or approving or rejecting, there wasn't as much guidance. That was one conversation that was had around one development, but and Amy, you've got your hand up in the air too, just to both of you and to everyone who's involved in development in Chapel Hill, to what extent is Chapel Hill 2020 helpful in terms of the specifics as well?
Well, I think
start with Jim Ward.
Excuse me, thank you.
Yeah.
I believe 2020, we realize and admit that where we are in that process is not complete. It's a first step that has identified goals and objectives and priorities. And we needed to make that first step before we then address the details of specific projects. But we now have a filter through which, the beginnings at least, of a filter through which we can take future development processes. And a piece of that is a recent council action to approve the development agreement process, which we use with which the town of Chapel Hill used with UNC to craft Carolina North. Mm-hmm. We recently approved that same process for moving the Glen Lennox project and Obie's Creek idea forward. Those are two sort of big projects that have their different places in that process in terms of the public conversation. But having moved those projects into that queue and moving them forward with before we make any promises to anybody, we're going to find out the facts, the details that you say mm-hmm. are lacking about what are the issues and how can they be addressed before we really get into a process where a typical special use permit type process mm-hmm. where people start feeling vetted in terms of they have the go-ahead that something's going to happen there. We haven't gotten that far. We've got a lot of information to figure out before that time.
Amy Ryan.
And I don't think that the 2020 process ended last June with the adoption of that mm-hmm. document. That was the first part. That was the big community phase. We got a lot of big thoughts down on paper. We listened mm-hmm. to a lot of people. And now we've moved into the implementation phase. And one of the things that I'm doing as a planning board representative is we have started what they call the future focus area studies, mm-hmm. where 2020 identified five areas in town that are likely to see change. And now we have individual planning processes for each of those. And I'm working in the Central West area, which is centered around the Martin Luther King and Estes intersection. Mm-hmm. And that's a very community-involved process. We've got 17 members. We meet almost weekly. We've got a consultant helping us to really sit down and think how this area is going to respond to change with Carolina North coming, with increasing density. How do we protect those existing neighborhoods? Mm-hmm. How do we make that area even more vibrant, make it accessible to walkers? Jim had an excellent point the other night about really pulling those institutions that are on Estes. We have libraries, we have the school, we have the Y. So how do we really make a plan that's going to tie all that together? Mm-hmm. So, and we will get down into pretty detailed recommendations by the end of that process.
How active has the community been in those conversations?
That Chapel Hill has a very, very engaged community in planning decisions. So, This process actually started. It was organized by community members. We had four organizing meetings with about 50 citizens attending each one. And now we have, again, we've got a almost a year-long process of community engagement to really sit down and talk about the details.
Jim Ward.
And we have described this process on occasion as the accordion process, where this task force will work with a consultant and town staff to begin to put some meat on the bones of this idea and then take that out to the public. And there's been one public opportunity at University Mall about 3 weeks ago or so, and there's another one coming up today, mm-hmm. tonight, in fact. And so we'll get some reaction and we'll bring it back and move this process along. The council has asked that there's sort of a check-in point before the end of before the summer starts, but the whole thing we hope will get finished to a point where people are comfortable before the end of this calendar year.
Jim Kitchen, last word in this segment.
Well, just picking up on Aaron's question, besides for Amy and for Jim and for others, besides the incubator on Rosemary Street, what other types of economic development is the planning board looking at, or is the council looking at, you know, besides that?
Well, there's a process called Rosemary Imagined, which is something that we see that corridor as a place where there's a lot of potential to encourage you and folks like yourself to have a greater footprint that fits in with the adjacent neighborhoods and the downtown itself. We have Gig U, which is a mm-hmm. regional effort that I'm only superficially aware of, but it's I've grown to understand that the association between innovation and the next 21st century business growth and innovation is going to be closely tied to fiber optic capacity, and This is a regional effort to between universities and the towns to form partnerships to turn our greater community into a mecca, hopefully, for the innovative ideas that are coming out of our university and elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. You are listening to Hour 5 of the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carrboro Community Forum. We're almost halfway through our 10-hour forum today. In this hour, we are discussing economic development. A lot more to talk about this hour. We're going to take a commercial break right now. When we come back, can you have too much of a good thing? That's going to be our initial question when we return. This is Aaron Keck. Don't go away. You're listening to the Community Forum.
Hi, this is Don Rice, owner of Molly Maid of Chapel Hill. The thought-provoking conversations taking place today on WCHL represent what this community is all about. The panelists are committed to making our community great, just like we are at Molly Maid. For 16 years, our family has been serving yours. My wife, Kathy, and I are proud to employ almost 50 people, doing our small part to keep our community vibrant and, of course, clean. As we support the WCHL Community Forum, we hope you'll support our locally owned business by visiting us at mollymaid.com.
At the Happy Tooth, dentistry is more than a profession. It's a passion. Here's Dr. Larry Murray.
My dad was the town dentist in the town that we grew up, and I always enjoyed spending time in his office and watching how he interacted with patients. The Happy Tooth concept is one where we want the patients to feel welcome and part of the family. I try to extend myself to all of my patients and make myself available to them for whatever their needs are, be it orthodontics, general dentistry, or beyond.
For more information, visit happytoothcares.com.
Hi, this is Michelle from the Carolina Inn. For 88 years, we've been serving our community with the finest hospitality and space for important community gatherings. Through the years, our commitment to serving Chapel Hill has never wavered, which is why we are proud to support the 2013 WCHL Community Forum. When John Sprunt Hill built the Carolina Inn in the 1920s, he and his contemporaries vigorously discussed the issues of the day, and I'm sure he would be proud to know that tradition continues today. The Carolina Inn, part of your community since 1924.
You wouldn't start a new addition to your home without the right tools. And if you're growing your small business, the right tools are essential to success. At the UPS Store, we have a small business growth toolkit that includes posters, flyers, brochures, a large retractable banner, and more. What's in your small business toolkit? Ask about our small business growth toolkit today at the UPS Stores, your go-to source for your to-do list.
The UPS Stores at Chapel Hill North on Fordham Boulevard next to the Chapel Hill University Inn and in Meadowmont.
You're listening to the 2013 Chapel Hill Carrboro Orange County Forum on WCHL and streaming live on chapelboro.com. Now, back to the forum.
Welcome back to Hour 5 of the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carrboro Community Forum. This is Aaron Keck, joined by Amy Ryan, Jim Kitchen, Jim Ward, Annette Stone, and Steve Brantley. We're talking about economic development. That is the subject of this hour. Before we ended our first segment, I was asking Amy Ryan about community feedback for the future focus groups in Chapel Hill, and she laughed knowingly because there has been so much. This always is a community with a lot to say about not just economic development, but every issue facing the community. And I want to turn, since we've talked about Chapel Hill for a while, I want to turn to Annette Stone and Steve Brantley, representing Carrboro and Orange County. I assume that you guys get the same amount of feedback from community members as well. How does that play into the decision-making process and the economic development process?
I'm sure.
Annette?
Yeah, Steve's pointing at me here. He reminded me at the break of several months ago, back in November, in the town of Carrboro, we had sort of an open forum for the development community to mm-hmm. come out and talk to us about our processes. And we've taken that information, and we've had a lot of staff meetings, and we're looking at how we deal with the development process and helping developers have more confidence in how to get to where that they are, you know, interested in going. So those are just some of the things that we have done in Carrboro to address mm-hmm. those concerns.
Yeah, and you particularly as economic development directors have done a lot of work to really get the community involved, the business community working together and residents of Carrboro, and just getting the word out about cool activities happening, not just, you know, 300 East Main Street going up is cool, but just little things that are happening around town all the time, every single day. You're doing a really good job getting the word out about that too, which is also significant.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's one of the more fun things of my job, you know, the For Love of Carrboro Facebook page, where we push out information all the time about all activities happening, big or small, in the town of Carrboro. And that's really grown, and it's a really interesting sort of dynamic now of how to communicate with your community, because, you know, is it social media? Is it newspapers? Is it radio? Is it, of course, you think it's radio, Aaron?
Of course,
radio. Always
radio.
Course. It's the only way. but, you know, how to get to, and so that's why I appreciate this opportunity today to even talk here on the radio, so people know what's happening in Carrboro, what's going on, you know, in the area. So, it's an interesting challenge to communicate with your community.
Mm-hmm. And moving the camera back to Orange County, Steve Brantley.
Well, economic development in the county gives me the advantage of several different tools, a little more flexibility, I think, to do some things. But at the same time, we are coordinating the county effort with four municipalities, and not only Chapel Hill and Carrboro, but Hillsborough and Mebane. 20% of Mebane's town limits is in Orange County. Mm-hmm. And so we have a little bit of a different hat to wear, at the same time trying to coordinate our efforts with at the local level with people like the Chambers, Aaron Nelson, Annette Stone, and Dwight Bassett, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to briefly summarize, though, what the county has largely been doing in the past 2 years for our efforts to diversify the tax base.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to the commissioners and the manager's office's effort in 2011 to have an information campaign on the quarter cent sales tax, or we call that Article 46. That was to raise funds for education and 50% for economic development. Fortunately, with the second effort, that referendum passed in November of 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Then throughout 2012, the commissioners worked to rezone approximately 700 acres of land in our three distinct economic development districts. And then in December of last year, the commissioners voted to approve a $4 million contract for water and sewer to these economic development districts. In fact, on May 16th, there's a groundbreaking ceremony in Eflin at 11 o'clock. The public's invited to not only kick off this next utility push, but to do a ribbon cutting on the previous Eflin sanitary sewer system. Finally, the commissioners have considered favorably an incentive policy for business. So in general, what we're doing is marketing these economic development districts as a county-led economic development program should be doing. We are developing materials. We're showing these properties to site selection consultants and to prospective businesses. And now we've gotten to the point of having visits and repeat visits. And believe it or not, projects that are eliminating Durham and Raleigh, but keeping Orange County in the running for things.
So what's down the road for those districts? You're doing a lot of work to develop the infrastructure, but what's going to be on top of the ground at the end?
It's a lot of work and a lot of land and a lot of effort to just let people know about that area. You asked me previously what excites me most about economic development. We're hoping soon to be able to talk about that. And over time, we hope to repeat that.
It's a lot more exciting because it's a secret, right?
Yeah.
I've
been holding that one for a while.
Yeah, Jim Kitchen.
Just to follow up on that, so for our listeners, why is that work, why is building out the economic development districts, why is that important? Why is it important to folks in Chapel Hill or throughout the county?
Let me give you an example, two examples of what I recently worked on where I wanted these things. We all would have theoretically wanted these businesses here in the county and in the Chapel Hill Carrboro community, for example. Recently, there was an announcement by the state and by the Raleigh media of a Wall Street investment banking software firm, Ipreo, coming to Raleigh, hiring 250 people, paying $85,000-$90,000 per year, a very lucrative company that Raleigh is proud to have. That business visited Chapel Hill three times in 2012 in our recruitment effort. Unfortunately for us, we only had one commercial office space that was not large enough, and we had no other options to go to. You know, had 123 West Franklin Street been built, had OB Creek or the Edge development been in place, we would have had other options to show. And then most recently, a $30 million investment data center prospect visited the county, looked at our one site that conceivably could have worked, and decided that site wasn't for them. When I said, well, we have other properties in the county, including in the Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hillsborough area, the consultant said, sorry, we need to start our construction in August of this year. Mm-hmm. And they knew that they couldn't get that accomplished on any other alternate property we have. And so these are the kinds of things that would help diversify the tax base mm-hmm. in a large way, create super jobs, not only for local residents, but even UNC graduates, for example, that we're not as fully able to capitalize on as perhaps Durham or Raleigh.
Mm-hmm. All the significant ways of diversifying the economy. And segueing out of that, I want to turn to Amy and Ryan, because it's something we talked about before the panel even began. A lot of the talk involving economic development, both in Chapel Hill and Carrboro and then outside in Orange County, has to do with commercial development. There is a lot of major commercial development in the works right now.
Now, when you say commercial, do you mean retail?
Retail,
or office?
Okay, yeah, retail specifically. Glenn Lennox adding more of the Edge eventually down the road already. 140 West Friday, I think, is the opening ceremony, and they've already got businesses open there. Ephesus Church, 123 West, just across the street from 140 West, 300 East Main Street, and those are just the biggest buildings that are going up. What is necessary for the town to be able to sustain all of that development? We've already had a lot of media coverage of businesses opening and closing in downtown Chapel Hill, Pepper's Pizza closing down, and people talking about that. Obviously, that's always happening in Chapel Hill. But what needs to be present in Chapel Hill and Carrboro and Orange County in order to sustain all of this retail development when it comes?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. And, you know, I think that's why the planning board especially is really encouraging the town to look at data when we make these decisions about what the consequences of them are. Mm-hmm. I looked at a recent report that the planning board had done last year, and in the town of Chapel Hill, between concept plans that are being proposed and things that have already been approved but not built, we're looking at 1.5 million new square feet of retail space mm-hmm. that would be possible in town. So if you do a little quick back of the envelope calculation and figure out how much they would need to sell to stay open mm-hmm. to do that, you can come out with a figure of something like $5,500 per Chapel Hill resident that it would take to support all that.
Somebody tells me
footage.
That's a little bit more than a back of the envelope calculation. I can't imagine how you even came up with that. But,
So, and that's a significant amount of money. And mm-hmm. some of that comes out of the pockets of your existing town merchants. And I think that it's very important to protect them as we move forward. So that's an issue. Some of it is going to come out of bringing new business into town, mm-hmm. which is good in that it's bringing in new sources of revenue, which is great. But then you have to look at the other impacts that brings with it. It will bring traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And as I spoke earlier, we have a really strong brand in this town. We're a very special place, mm-hmm. so that you have to look at how the impacts will affect that and make sure that it's a good thing for Chapel Hill going forward.
And that's certainly something that gets back to some of the subjects that were discussed in the growth panel previously about sustainability when it comes to transportation, when it comes to housing and everything else. All of these retail developments are going to require more clientele, and just throwing open the question to everyone, for all of these retail developments, is that something that we as a community are confident that we can bring into Chapel Hill and Carrboro and Orange County? Jim,
well, I think it needs to be the right retail mix. Mm-hmm. I think you can get underwear in Chapel Hill now after that was determined. But there aren't very many.
After extensive research, we find, yeah.
But I think we all need to depend on our professionals on our staff and the consultants mm-hmm. we hire to help us identify what that retail mix is. There are certain categories that we would prefer over others in terms of their environmental influence, whether they're heavy water users or their smokestack issues, mm-hmm. what kind of traffic circulation do they have, or is that going to, what is their impact on our road system? But there are...
Can you give me an example of how that plays out concretely, like one business versus another?
Well, I think that we would not want a paper manufacturer. Somebody's going to make paper here.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some businesses that are, you drive to them, you work, and you leave. There's not a whole lot of trips in during the day that are going to be a problem. You have, when you have that kind of 9-to-5 operation, there's a counter-cyclical parking that might be available mm-hmm. for some other uses, that if you have the right kind of housing mix, perhaps, or other kind of retail mix, you could use that same parking footprint for multiple uses. And there may be some retail options that are such as Southern Season. I mean, mm-hmm. that is a destination.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be some other of those sorts of operations that are not relying just on Chapel Hill Carrboro citizens to provide the cash flow that they need. And those need to be carefully placed on the perimeter of our community so that we're not bringing traffic into local streets to get to these. But I think there's some of those out there too.
Amy Ryan has a follow-up, but I wanted to just press you on one thing, just out of curiosity, really, more than anything else. You mentioned Southern Season as a destination shopping location. You know, obviously there's been talk about big boxes coming into Chapel Hill with the Edge and Obie Creek. How involved are economic development directors? How involved are elected officials? And how involved are the developers themselves in a given location in terms of being able to have a say in determining which businesses or which retail merchants go into a particular place? Can you veto a Walmart at the Edge if you wanted to?
Well, I won't respond to that specific.
But well,
I think that we have economic development people at this table, mm-hmm. who are professionals, and Dwight Bassett isn't here, but the council communicates to him and his staff. The public process has opportunities to make their ideas known about whether it's Costco is a good thing or not, for mm-hmm. instance. And I think we have the ability to give some general guidelines to our professionals, but at the end of the day, it's the people who are going to be funding these developments that are going to determine whether this is a good financial risk for them to take or not. And I would think that our economic development professionals could add to that response.
Yeah, Annette Stone.
Well, I just wanted to add and say that is absolutely true, that at the end of the day, the person who's building the development, you know, goes and finds those tenants. But
uh-huh.
at the same time, for Carrboro, I can say that, you know, clearly we lean toward and encourage locally operated businesses. We have a preference toward that
mm-hmm.
and have incentives through our revolving loan funds, you know, that we have put in place, and other support systems for entrepreneurs, new businesses, in order to encourage that. So clearly, you know, there is a preference toward that mm-hmm. in Carrboro.
Would you say there's that preference in Chapel Hill as well,
yeah,
Jim?
Definitely.
Yeah.
We share that in common.
Okay. I think Steve Brantley wants to add, and I want to get back to Amy Ryan, but I'll finish this first.
Well, I believe that retail development is largely assisted by local brokers, realtors.
Mm-hmm.
I think that commercial development has a lot of developers who are facilitating that. And I think industrial development is much more state site selection consultant and city county
mm-hmm.
led efforts. Where I get involved with retail is often not only introducing realtors, but also getting our planning people involved, because anyone needs to have questions about what is or is not allowed, what is the time or cost to have something approved. And that's where the planning departments of the towns and the county really have a big role
mm-hmm.
In that.
And then finally getting back to the point from 3.5 minutes ago, Amy Ryan.
I may have to move on. It's been a good discussion.
Sorry about that.
I wanted to emphasize the need that there should be a partnership between the economic development officers and the town citizens itself, mm-hmm. because I think that it's really important in getting buy-in from the townspeople with new plans. And I think it's also when you have all the different stakeholders at the table, you get a better solution in the end than you would have otherwise. I was talking to Dwight a little while ago, and he was presenting the Ephesus Fordham plan that we have, and it calls for 250,000 new square feet of retail space. Mm-hmm. And in the 2011 retail market analysis, that was the total square footage of town leakage that we have. That was what the report was saying. This is how much more retail you can support mm-hmm. without making big changes in town. Mm-hmm. So as Dwight moves forward to exploring other opportunities, what he's really saying is this could make a big change in town, and that discussion has to include the community members.
Mm-hmm. And every other level in between as well. Right?
Well, obviously, and then we can take that to council and say, here's what your staff is saying, here's what your community is saying, mm-hmm. here's what our comprehensive plan says. Now, how do we decide how to move forward?
All right, we've got to take a break right now. You're listening to Hour 5 of the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carrboro Community Forum. This hour's topic, economic development in our community. We're going to take one more commercial break right now. This is Aaron Keck. We'll be right back with the third segment of our forum after this.
Did you know there's a state-of-the-art community college right here in Orange County? Hi, this is Penny Gluck, Executive Dean of Durham Tech's Orange County campus, and I invite you to find out why our enrollment is soaring and our class offerings are up 70% since last year. Our campus is green and sustainable with well-equipped classrooms, science labs, computer labs, and a spacious library, all designed to provide a first-class education. Find out more at durhamtech.edu and click on the Orange County campus.
When you think of Harrington Bank, do you think green? No, not that kind of green, sustainability green. At Harrington Bank, we're the first bank in the nation to earn Green Plus certification. And the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce has just selected us Sustainable Business of the Year. For Harrington Bank, going green is a smart business decision that strengthens our local economy, environment, and community. Stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Hi, this is Don Rice, owner of Molly Maid of Chapel Hill, with five simple reasons our customers do business with us. Number one, we clean your home the way you want it clean. Second, you're not bound by a contract. Third, we are true professionals. Fourth, we work as hard as you do. And number five, people notice. They really notice. Find out for yourself why hundreds of area families trust Molly Maid. Visit MollyMaid.com to book a free in-home customized cleaning estimate. MollyMaid.com.
You know, going to the dentist doesn't have to be unpleasant. Here's Dr. Larry Murray from The Happy Tooth.
A lot of people don't enjoy going to the dentist. A lot of people are very anxious. If we can make the experience a little bit more fun and relaxing, that'll make it a better experience for the patient and dispel some of their anxieties. So our philosophy is have a good time, bond with your patients, and make your patients feel they're part of the family and they'll look forward to coming back.
The Happy Tooth. Google Happy Tooth Chapel Hill to find out more. It's the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carrboro Orange County Forum. You can also hear all our local conversations streaming live at chapelboro.com. And now back with more of the WCHL Forum.
Welcome back to the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carrboro Community Forum. This is Aaron Keck jumping right back in with our discussion of economic development, joined again by Steve Brantley, Annette Stone, Jim Ward, Jim Kitchen, and Amy Ryan. I want to open the third and final segment of this hour. We've gone pretty quickly already by throwing out another sort of generic opening question to the entire panel. What are the barriers to economic development in Orange County, Chapel Hill Carrboro in particular, or Orange County in particular? We've talked about historically the extent to which the development process takes a long time. Developers have talked about that. Council members and economic development officials have talked about that. We've talked about the extensive rules for development in Orange County. That was something that we were actually discussing before the panel even began. With economic development moving, everyone seems to agree, in the right direction. What are the remaining barriers that exist to promoting economic development in our community, and what can be and what is being done about that? Jim Kitchen.
So I sit on the Economic Development Advisory Board, and there's this perception that I sense from the county that there is this anti-growth contingent in the county or in Chapel Hill. And I was just talking to Jim during the break about that, and I'd like to hear from him and from Steve. Is that a perception, or is it reality? Mm-hmm. Because the economic development districts, if they're completely built out, and Steve, correct me if I'm wrong on that, it's roughly 3% of the total land in the county. And, you know, if those are completely built out, it further diversifies our tax base from 85% residential, which is very, very heavy on our residents. You know, I was talking to Tom Forsella recently about the number of teachers that teach in our public schools that actually could afford to live in Chapel Hill. That mm-hmm. number is very low. I was mm-hmm. talking to Chris Blue about the same thing for our firemen or for our policemen and women and for the other public servants. And that number is very low because that tax burden is so high for the residential base. So I'd like to, you know, hear from Jim and from Steve on that. And what is that perception, or is it reality?
And before Jim Ward's about to speak, just to add a second question onto that, to what extent does the perception then become reality? To what extent does the perception of Orange County being high barriers to economic development make it harder to attract development?
Yeah, well, I think we continue to suffer from that perception that we are not open for business. We're not a business-friendly community. And the town of Chapel Hill, and I know the other towns are also, through marketing and word of personal interactions with the development community, are trying to identify concrete ways that we are a different place. We are open to business. Mm-hmm. And the kinds of things that are, but it's still a barrier. That perception turns out to be a physical barrier. But the description that Stephen recently provided in terms of the conversations he's had with outside groups showing interest in town will begin to, they'll be able to spread the word that they were treated the right way in a business-friendly way. But the other barriers are infrastructure, which at the county level, the county is working on the infrastructure for those economic development zones. And I think the council, the Chapel Hill Town Council, is fully on board with supporting the county's efforts in that area. We also suffer from a lot of absentee landlords in our downtown that do not have a sense of the kind of sense of community which would cause them to reflect rental rates in a way that would support class two office space. We've been living high on the hog for a long, long time, and they've been getting the premier rents for a long, long time, and they haven't put anything into these buildings, so we've got sort of crumbling infrastructure at high costs, and that in part is the result of a history of the landlords being able to charge that kind of rent. So creating some additional class two office space, either through the existing infrastructure or building it. And the approval process. Chapel Hill has got a reputation that we are still struggling with in terms of the rigorousness of our approval process. I support a rigorous process that makes a product better in the end, but there are some pieces of our process that weren't adding to the value at all. It was the time can be shortened in terms of a development having to go to each individual advisory board instead of being able to talk to multiple ones at the same time. They're easy ways for us to improve that and save everybody some money, and hopefully that will save money in terms of the eventual costs of housing in Chapel Hill. And the last one that we is just a part of our culture is that it's a community buy-in. We've got a very strong neighborhood advocates. We have very strong environmental protection advocates. Those are both good things. We need to continue to work with people who have that perspective and the economic development perspective and find the common ground. As I said earlier, we need to balance all those and make sure that we aren't harming any in the process of moving forward. And I think that's very possible to do.
Annette Stone nodding her head and all that. Steve Brantley and Amy Ryan taking notes. I want to move over to Steve now and add on another question, which is that every single year at this forum, at this time of the year, we have an economic development panel or something like it. And at some point over the course of the hour, the same basic theme always keeps getting brought up, which is, oh, once upon a time, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and it's always the same amount of time ago, no matter how many years we do this panel. So it was 5 or 10 years ago, we were not very good at promoting economic development at all. Now, it's very different. Everyone's on board. Everyone's working together. We're doing this. We're doing that. We've got two major developments across the street from each other in Chapel Hill, which is true. We've got 300 East Main Street about to happen in Carrboro, and that's just phase one of three, right? A whole bunch of other ones. So there is movement on economic development, and yet there's still this perception that Orange County is anti-growth, anti-development. Is that perception going away at all?
I would certainly hope so. I mean, we've got to do a great job at talking positive about ourselves is one way to make that go away. And so whenever you hear that perception, you know and be able to talk about all these things that are happening right now. So, I mean, I think it is going away.
Okay. Steve Brantley?
I think if you said theoretically an investment prospect from New York or California looking at us, they would know nothing about that past reputation. Mm-hmm. If it's local within the state, consultants or companies, they are aware of it, but I think that we're reducing that. Mm-hmm. I think it's largely or mostly among ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we talk about economic development a lot, and there's a very learned resident population base here. So I think the barriers include cynicism within our own community about what it is we're trying to do and what we maybe should achieve and can we achieve it or should we. And then I think it's largely inexperience with seeing what I call the success of a more diversified business recruitment. And so, for example, with a major corporation, even in light manufacturing, I think that we don't have the same degree of success to attract those things in the past, to increase the comfort level that should be there relative to companies that are good corporate citizens, that have philanthropy that they plow back into their local community, where they're bringing high-tech skills to people. You know, Orange County's got a poverty rate that's higher than the state average, even though we have the highest per capita income. Mm-hmm. You know, that disparity hasn't previously really either been known or adequately addressed. And I think that a company coming in and bringing high-tech skills where the community college trains those people, where those people get full-time jobs, not part-time jobs, they get the benefits, the health care, retirement, maybe for the first time in their life. Mm-hmm. To me, that's the social justice that economic development can bring if people will allow themselves to consider the fruits of what I think we can do. And we've just not had enough opportunity in the past to actually see it at work here.
There's a couple points in there I want to get back to and sort of make that the last topic of the hour because we're getting close to wrapping things up. But to Steve, I want a follow-up question with you. The if memory serves, and correct me if I'm wrong, you joined us here last year for the community forum, and you had not quite just started, but you were relatively new on the job. Has the job gotten easier for you in the last year? So far, I'm taking this.
I think my stress level may go down, but it won't get easier because the expectation level is high, and also what I'm trying to do is where I put on myself or our advisory board expects of us is pretty darn important, and I don't think that I would ever be comfortable relaxing in what I'm trying to do. I'm probably more focused on what could be looking here or should be and is not, and why, and those things bother me, and I want us to have more opportunities to attract particularly capital-intensive, high-quality businesses, and therein lies the jobs and the skills that can go to our residents.
Last question. We've only got a couple minutes left, so I'll ask everyone on the panel to take about 30 seconds to answer this one. And there are a variety of different ways that you can answer this. But Steve mentioned in his last answer the extent to which we can use economic development, or hinted at least in his last answer, the extent to which we can use economic development as a way to promote or live up to the values that we hold dear as a community, promoting economic development that eases the poverty rate, for instance. What are we currently, and what can we do in order to promote the specific kind of economic development that makes us the community that we want to be? I want to start with Jim Kitchen, because your example of not just Launch, but just everything that you do, but Launch in particular, is a great example of one of the things that everyone talks about in this community, which is keeping the knowledge that we have, the base at UNC, and keeping that here. So I want to begin with you.
Yeah, in 30 seconds, I would just say that we need to build new ecosystems, entrepreneurial, arts, cultural ecosystems, new spaces, like we're doing at Launch at West Rosemary Street. Mm-hmm. We're going to be opening 1789 above Four Corners. It's going to be another 3,500 square feet. I've talked to the council about potentially utilizing the old Chapel Hill Museum or the library. That's a new space that's been vacant for years. Mm-hmm. I share Steve's excitement about those EDDs for a number of reasons, because I do think that social justice on that topic equals better jobs, better paying jobs for our those middle income folks in Chapel Hill and throughout the county, for maintaining existing services, social equity, maintaining diversity. So I think that creating new spaces and ecosystems is very important.
Amy Ryan.
Yeah, I think part of how we do that is I think we need to have a real discussion with the community about the trade-offs that this all involves. And we have, I think, very high ideals for ourselves and our the kind of values that we have, and they're very expensive. And I think having that discussion, saying, look, if you have this amount of economic development, you're going to be able to let your teachers and firefighters live in town. You're going to be able to provide more affordable housing. It may be worth it to you to put that big box retailer somewhere if it then brings those extra benefits to town. So I think that when you really engage in that discussion of trade-offs, I think that then you can move forward.
Steve Brantley.
I would say have faith in what the county is doing. We're pretty confident that we're going to be showing successes, even if it's in agricultural areas. You know, this weekend, for example, is the 18th annual Piedmont Farm Tour of 39 mm-hmm. farms. And so the county is wearing many hats in economic development. But if I focus on diversifying the tax base, then the economic development districts and some larger things that theoretically can go there will be something I'm very much focused on.
Annette Stone.
I would say that the emphasis that the town has put on arts and entertainment and the food economy and those things, the creative economy, in the past few years has been very successful and has really made Carver kind of the place that people want to be right mm-hmm. now. But working and to really help as I started out talking about the hidden economy, those entrepreneurs that are sort of embedded in the town, and you can map out privilege license and see how many little home businesses there are, mm-hmm. and really helping them up and out, and then creating the space for them. The office space is a huge problem. We're creating more of that. So I think those are the things that we can do.
And finally, Jim Ward.
Well, the economic development, a major part of it is, in my mind, is creating a revenue stream that will help the towns and the county provide funds to address those local needs, whether it's affordable housing or some other social need. And diversifying the tax base is a way that I see us doing that. And to me, it's a very, very high priority for us to do. We need to, it addresses social equity issues, as has been mentioned. It provides local retail options that gets people off the street in terms of their transit that's required to do any of these things. And with my last 5 seconds, I would just like to throw out an idea that I haven't heard others speak about, and which is really new to my own thinking, is the creation of a sports council. I really think that we've seen the success that that's had in Raleigh and Cary, and I think there's a niche for Chapel Hill to do this too, to partner with the county and Carrboro and the university. We've got lots of assets in place, and we can develop those with the creation of a sports council. I think we can identify opportunities, partnerships, coordinate our effort more than we are today, and really focus on what kinds of efforts we can put in place quickly that will create enhance the revenue stream associated with soccer and other sports that are around us, but really haven't been using Chapel Hill as a focus for that in terms of hotel beds and benefiting our restaurant businesses and so forth.
All right, that will wrap up Hour 5 of the 2013 WCHL Community Forum. This hour, as well as the entire day's broadcast, can be found on our website, chapelboro.com, at the end of today's events. This is Aaron Keck. Next hour, we're going to be discussing education in our community. Your moderator is going to be D.G. Martin. This is Aaron Keck. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Community Forum.